WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Are you a Christian and in favor of the refugee ban or opposed on religious grounds? My next guest is going to talk about that from a Jesuit priest's perspective. And listeners, call us with your non-Muslim religious take on the refugee and travel ban. 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. Father James Martin is a Jesuit priest, editor-at-large of America Magazine, and author of books including Jesus, A Pilgrimage, which came out in paperback last year. He recently wrote several posts on Facebook about the Trump administration's crackdown on immigrants. And in one from last week, he said, "These measures, which mean the rejection of the stranger, the rejection of the person in need, the rejection of those who suffer, are manifestly unchristian and utterly contrary to the gospel." Well, that quote, that post, I should say, now has more than 9,000 comments and has been shared, as of this morning, more than 85,000 times. So Father James Martin is here with me to talk about that. Father Jim, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks. Good to be back with you.
So I just read that quote from your Facebook page and embedded quote from the Bible, "Is every refugee a stranger?" What does that mean?
Well, the Bible is pretty clear all the way back to the Old Testament. I think in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, it says, "You shall not oppress the resident alien, for you yourselves were aliens once in the land of Egypt." So that's, you know, God talking to the people of Moses. And then Jesus talks about welcoming the stranger several times. And yeah, the stranger is, in those days, would have been the foreigner, the person who's kind of come into the land. I don't know if they had the term refugee, but there's a part in the Bible that talks about giving people refuge. So it's pretty clear that this is the group of people that is talked about in the Old Testament and by Jesus in the New Testament.
We saw that one thread of comments below your post had to do with letting in legal versus illegal immigrants. So what was your response to people saying that the U.S. should not let in illegal immigrants and that is, you know, not opposed to Jesus's teachings?
Well, you know, Jesus doesn't put any restrictions on his teachings. He doesn't say only help people who are legal, only help people when it's convenient, only help people who you don't think are terrorists, those kinds of things. You know, and even Pope Francis talked about the illegal immigrant having a claim on us. So, you know, these are people, and I have to say, I worked with refugees for 2 years in East Africa in the 1990s. And, you know, these are people in desperate need of help. And Jesus says in the 25th chapter of Matthew that, you know, one of the ways that we're going to be judged when we, you know, are sort of waiting to get into heaven or not is, you know, how well we treated the stranger. And he doesn't make any sort of, you know, delineations on whether or not they're legal or illegal.
Where's Pope Francis, by the way? I haven't heard his voice. I don't know if he's just not being covered, but with this travel ban really roiling the world and leaders from all over the world weighing in, mostly negatively, even Boris Johnson, the Brexit leader from the UK, saying this was wrong and divisive. Has Pope Francis, your fellow Jesuit, been speaking out?
Well, he has pretty consistently. Not recently, maybe because he wants to divorce it from this particular executive order. But, I mean, he's constantly spoken out and said, even recently, I think it was last October, you know, it's hypocrisy to say that you're a Christian and chase away the refugee. And in fact, the Vatican just created a new office for migrants and refugees, and it's part of this larger it's called Integral Human Development Office. And the very unusually, the person who is running that particular department is Pope Francis himself. So, I mean, he really takes a very he puts us in a very sort of special place in his priorities of ministry.
Brendan in Union Beach. You're on WNYC with Father James Martin. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to comment. You know, there's a lot of people who are claiming to be very devout Christians and such, and they're completely for the immigration ban. And I feel like they're forgetting one of the most Christian values of the Beatitudes, particularly the one that says, blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And it just seems like what's going on is exactly that. People are, they're doing what they think is right for themselves, but not for anybody else. And they're using their own religion as a weapon.
So, Brendan, let me throw back at you and you at you too, Father Jim, a Supreme Court quote from 1949 in a free speech case Justice Robert Jackson wrote against converting the Constitution's Bill of Rights into a suicide pact, and then the famous version of it later from Justice Goldberg, who wrote, "The Constitution is not a suicide pact." So if the government determines that it compromises our national security to just go forward with the way things were and not take a 90-day or 120-day time out and assess, the relationship between travel and security. Should they not be able to do that under Christian teachings, Brendan?
I guess taking a time out like that isn't necessarily against it, but I feel like there's more to it than just that. You know, it seems like it's meant to be more of a direct affront to the Muslim people and immigrants in general, actually.
And that's what they're putting on paper that they feel they can get away
with. Yeah, that's the jumping off point.
Thank you very much. Father Martin, same question?
Yeah, I mean, an infinitesimal percentage of refugees, are carrying terrorism with them. And it's important to see that, particularly in the case of Syrian refugees, they are fleeing terror. I mean, they're fleeing war and violence and certain death. So, these are the people that we most need to let in. And, yeah, really, I think a lot of it's just a fig leaf for Islamophobia and for, sort of targeting Muslims. Certainly, we need to protect ourselves. I think that's reasonable. But, the Christian worldview is not you help someone only if there's zero risk. You know, Jesus never says that. The parable of the Good Samaritan, where the man stops by the side of the road to help a Jewish man, one of the reasons that two people passed that man by is because they were probably afraid to help him. So, Jesus is clear over and over and over again. You help people, even when it's at great risk to yourself. Otherwise, what's the point? I mean, if you're just going to do it when it's easy, that's not Christianity.
Kay in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking me on. I feel, what's going on. I am not quite in this sync with what Trump is doing. I don't like the approach he takes. I think the approach was too harsh that he taken on these people. But I am also opposed to the way the pressure from the outside world is coming down on our policies in our country. A lot of these people didn't pay taxes in this country, and they're claiming a right which they don't have. Every country have a policy, and if Trump wants to review his policies in this country, I think he have a right for us to do it internally. And those people that are on the outside should wait until that outcome comes out. Not so forcefully said he should change it. That meaning people from the outside are trying to change the law in our country. At the same time, I didn't vote for Trump. I don't like most of his policies, But I also don't like the dictatorship from other places and other people trying to. I have traveled extensively, and in countries you go into, they vet you. You cannot vet to China. We were vetted for like 20 minutes. It's hard to get in. So our country should have policies and procedures like every other country.
And
this doesn't mean that I support what Trump did.
I understand. And, of course, people who are critics of the Trump ban say there is so much vetting and nobody's against vetting, and the opposite of vetting is to say nobody can come in and even subject themselves to vetting in that kind of a blanket way. Which part for you, Kay, are you most interested in seeing allowed to work for a while? Because I think you're interested in some of the policies, maybe more with respect to immigration in general than the refugee policy, or which? Because I hear your conflictedness, and I'm curious what part you're most interested in giving a chance.
Well, look, I understand that it is terrible that's what's happening to these people, and I feel terribly bad for these people. But at the same time, we you know, it's a thin line. We just cannot take in one bad apple and spoil the entire barrel. So there should be a process to process these incoming refugee and immigrant. And everybody should allow that process to work and see what happens. I'm not saying that Trump is right. I think he's ludicrous. But at the same time, I don't think the pressure from the outside should force upon the country. I oppose when people that are in this country undocumented and they're protesting in front of the White House. Yeah, that's a violation of the law. They enter illegally. I'm an immigrant myself, but you just cannot be wrong and then be strong at the same time.
Kay, thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it. Brenda in Boston, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question, Father Jim, is about the concept of the sanctity of all life. And as a Catholic, hearing the loudest voices from Catholic leaders that the most important issue is abortion tells many people that that's the only issue they should vote for. And I know there are many Catholics that voted for Trump because of that issue. And I'm wondering, how do you discern what's most important as a Catholic when the loudest voices are telling you to ignore everything, including the lives of those migrant children, at the expense, you know, you're told to ignore those and only focus on that one issue? How are we supposed to discern that as Catholics?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I would say they may be the loudest voices during the election, but certainly not now. The U.S. Bishops' Conference came out with a very strong, very, very strong statement. Cardinal Supich of Chicago, Cardinal Tobin of Newark. I mean, the church in the United States has been very vocal about this, and I'm very glad to see that. I think the important thing, and I think one of the things that Catholics tend to forget and non-Catholics tend to forget about Catholics, is that there is what we call a consistent ethic of life. You know, pro-life means pro-life at all stages. It just doesn't mean, you know, for the unborn. It means for people who are born, too, you know, for children who are refugees, but also for adults who are refugees. You know, and so it needs to be explicated a lot more clearly that pro-life does not mean just pro-birth. And this, I think, the bishops have done very well in the last couple of days. I think I'm very proud of the bishops on this issue and how courageous they've been in standing up for their brothers and sisters, the migrants and the refugees.
Brenda, thank you. Mr. G in Bayside, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mr. G.
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a quick two questions that maybe you guys can answer. One would be, my question is, where are the imams and all the Muslim sanctuaries for these people? Do anybody help them? Are they reaching a handout? And all these other Muslim countries, other than the seven that have a ban on them, why can't they help? And my second question would be to the Padre is, what is the Vatican doing? Are they setting up safe zones in Syria or helping them in any way? Why is all the burden being put on the United States to take in these people that have no right to even come here unless they're vetted properly, in my opinion? Maybe you can answer those two questions.
Mr. G, let me ask you a question about your first question. Do you know that there are 4.9 million, so about 5 million officially registered Syrian refugees, that the vast majority are in Middle Eastern countries. Millions are in Turkey and Jordan and Lebanon, primarily also Iraq. Germany has taken the most of any Western country, I believe, at about 600,000. The United States has taken a total so far of about 18,000. So those are the official numbers.
Right. So, you're correct. But what about the Muslim countries? Why aren't they stepping up and taking most of their Muslim religion people?
Well, I'm saying
– can I answer that question?
Sure. But what, just to be clear, what I just said is that they are. Turkey, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, the Muslim countries are taking the vast majority of Syrian refugees. But Father Martin, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll answer both of those questions from a Christian perspective. First of all, the first question, why isn't someone else helping, is not the Christian question. When the Good Samaritan goes by to the side of the road and sees the guy lying there, he doesn't say, hey, why doesn't someone else help the guy? That's not the question we're supposed to be asking. The question Jesus asks us is, why aren't you helping, or why aren't we helping? Now, as for what the Vatican does, I think it's very important to understand that, you know, Catholic Relief Services, Caritas International, Jesuit Refugee Service, the Catholic Church has been helping migrants and refugees, you know, for decades and is all over the world on the ground. I worked in East Africa for 2 years with refugees in Nairobi. They are everywhere. The Catholic Church is one of the leading sort of assistance agencies for that. The Vatican itself, you know, Pope Francis himself has opened up shelters for refugees and brought over refugees into the Vatican. So it always rankles me when I hear people say, well, what's the Vatican doing, what Pope Francis is doing? The Catholic Church is there on the ground with the refugees, medical care, pastoral care, educational care. So we're doing a lot.
So, Mr. G, for you, if there are 5 million Syrian refugees, what should be the United States number for how much we take in? If the countries in the region, the Muslim majority countries in the region, are doing the bulk, what for you should be the number? Because the Trump administration says zero.
Well, the Trump administration, there shouldn't be zero, but there is, because we have a constitution and the Statue of Liberty is not part of our constitution. I don't want anybody to be confused. There is a system of vetting, and we have to make sure that we send that people that come in here to practice their religion freely are safe people and decent people with backgrounds. Now, in those countries, if you can't find paperwork for these decent people that you're talking about, I don't think we should risk coming in. That is the responsibility of their country to get their stuff in order, not ours. We need to set up a system for Americans, which we all are, to keep us safe and keep the right people coming in here. I'm not saying zero. We could take a lot of people in, and we have in the past, but we're not just going to let everyone come in. And by the way, why are they migrating to the Western European countries and not to the Muslim countries? Did anybody ask them that question? Why would they all migrate this way?
I think we've answered three times that most of them are going to Muslim countries in the Middle East. But Mr. G, thank you, and please do call us again. And Father Martin, we have 30 seconds for a last word.
Yeah, I would just like to say that Jesus could not be any clearer in the Gospels. It's not something that is up for debate. It's not something that you have to interpret. He says the way you treat the stranger is the way you treat me, period.
Father James Martin, editor-at-large for America Magazine, author most recently of Jesus, A Pilgrimage, now out in paperback. Thanks as always.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.